Jesus Christ was an only child who went down to the river and he drank and smiled. And his dad was a stone man, should have churned that planet before it did crash. Working real hard to make internet cash with the fingers of the bone sitting on your ass. I know now what I knew then, but I didn't know then what I know now. And it found out as a hairless style, so you should hide your kids.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Frank Schaefer, who is a best-selling author of fiction and nonfiction. His parents, Francis and Edith Schaefer, were world-famous evangelical speakers and authors. He previously worked with such figures as Pat Robinson, Jerry Falwell, and Focus on the Family's James Dobson. Frank Schaefer increasingly experienced a crisis of faith and broke with the evangelical movement. His novels include Crazy for God, Patience with God, and his latest, Sex, Mum, and God. Welcome to Background Briefing, Frank Schaefer.
Hi, thanks, Ian.
And Frank, you've been watching the latest Republican presidential debate, which began and as our program began today, so I haven't had an opportunity to watch it. Not that it's my favorite viewing, but I sometimes have to do my homework here. What's happened so far? Because I expected there to be a little friction over Mitt Romney has already called on Perry to repudiate bigoted remarks made by his pastor.
About Mormonism. No, there's been no mention of that. What we've seen is essentially a series of statements on the economy and the government. But there is a theme that actually connects to things you and I have talked about in the past. And that is really the theme of this book of mine, Sex, Mom, and God, on how the religious right arose. And that is all of these candidates posture on pointing to the federal government, the U.S. government, as the agent of all problems in our culture. And so what you really have here is a Republican Party that is controlled by a right-wing ideology that is anti-government, and really fundamentally anti-American while wrapping itself in the flag is, you know, I think anything in our history. So, you know, Michelle Bachmann, first of all, early in the debate, blamed the federal government, and essentially pushed the idea that, it should be virtually shut down. Gingrich attributed all of our problems to the Federal Reserve and intimated that Bernanke and people like him should be in jail. In response to a question about if anything should be done about Wall Street, he said, Wall Street's not the problem. The federal government is the only problem. Wall Street's not the problem. The same theme was picked up across the board. And so really, I would just say, you know, if you were trying to figure a headline to describe the Republican debate, it would be Republicans delegitimize all government. And, of course, that goes back to things I was involved with that I talk about in Sex, Mom, and God back in the 70s and 80s, which was the way we would portray the federal government as the agent of all evil because we disagreed with decisions on abortion or gay rights. This is now translated into an across-the-board hatred of the federal government by Republican candidates that, of course, gives free rein to Wall Street and deregulation of all kinds. And so you really see in this debate tonight the complete merging of two movements, the religious right suspicion and hatred of the federal government because it allowed abortion, gay rights, and so forth, combined with this laissez-faire economic approach that says, look, we need no taxes virtually, no regulation. You know, Rick Perry's only economic proposal that he made tonight concretely was to open up every gas and oil and energy field in America to production. He said that would create 1.5 million jobs, and that's all he has for the economy, again, blaming the federal government and so forth. So tonight, you know, the overall theme was not a petty squabble over religion and bigotry of being anti-Mormon, although that's very interesting because the evangelicals are not going to vote for a Mormon candidate, but it was the most glaring statements of just anti-government venom that you're going to hear, you know, this side of Al-Qaeda. You know, the only other people who talk this way about the U.S. federal government and its nefarious designs on the world are the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, the Iranian government, and so forth. And so, you know, to see this coming out of the Republican Party is really shocking.
And Frank Schaefer, when you say that the religious aspect and the bigotry towards Mormonism is one that's not being discussed tonight, even though in the lead up to it there was both Perry and Romney were firing shots across each other's bows about
right.
it. It's nevertheless, though, critical, because if, as you say, the religious right, who you know very well, will not vote for this Mitt Romney, they aren't they incredibly influential in the primary process? And doesn't that make him toast?
Yeah, the agitators that used to be at the gates of the Republican Party back when my dad and I in the 70s were agitating on behalf of the anti-abortion movement are now the very people running. You know, Michelle Bachmann was quoted in the New Yorker a few weeks ago as saying the only reason she got into politics was because of the documentary series of films I directed against abortion that featured my father back in the 1970s. And so now we have a sort of a second and third generation of activists who have come up through the ranks of the religious right. You have to understand, when they look at Mormonism, they look at it the same way they look at atheism or the same way they would look at Hindus. In fact, I facetiously mentioned on Rachel Maddow's show a couple of nights ago that, you know, as far as they're concerned, this would be a choice between the Mormon, in quote, if it was Mitt Romney, and the Muslim, in quote, which is, you know, a consistent lie they've told about President Obama. And all joking aside, that's how the evangelical gatekeepers who now control the nominating process with the votes that they've locked up on the whole idea of who could become a candidate, let alone who would be president. Now, in the national election, I don't think that would hold, and I don't even think it would hold with many evangelical Christians who would be more open-minded. But we're talking about the hardcore activists, that 60% of the Tea Party, for instance, which is shown to be right-wing evangelical in the Pew Research poll that was done. Those group of people who sent, you know, the 87 radical freshmen into Congress to stall the Obama presidency virtually completely, those group will not tolerate and will not vote for a Mormon. And so essentially the Republicans have a real problem because their heartbeat is controlled by a bigoted inner core of right-wing fundamentalist Christians who regard Mormons as not just heretics, but as complete non-Christians and non-starters and would never vote for one.
Well, Frank Schaefer, it's been pretty obvious for some time that there's something wrong with Mitt Romney in as much as he's not catching on. It's not the first time that he's run.
Right.
He looks presidential. He acts, he's got all of the right telegenic moves, but somehow he's not connecting. And it's also equally obvious, I think, that the Republican establishment desperately want him, and that I think, that, except for the oil barons in Texas and Oklahoma, who support Perry, I think the business establishment is quite alarmed by Perry. So are you saying that the Christian fundamentalists in their lockstep control of the primary process have the clout and have the numbers to deny Mitt Romney the nomination?
I believe they do. I mean, you could always have a freakish turn of events that casts some unforeseen factor into the race, both the national race but also just the primaries. But other than that, other than something completely unforeseen, I would say the contingency, you know, as Jeeves would have said in the P.G. Woodhouse books, the contingency is remote, that this guy could ever be a Republican candidate in a world where you have to be a fundamentalist evangelical Christian to have a prayer or pretend you are one. Now, a guy like Newt Gingrich isn't going to get it in, but at least, you know, as a kind of a recent convert to Catholicism, he can kind of pretend that he's in lockstep with the values of the religious right and get away with it, because Catholics have been slightly rehabilitated from the kind of whore of Babylon label that John Hagee, who was a big supporter of McCain, gave them. But when you get to Mormonism, it's right out there in the evangelical mind with Islam. And there's not just a derivative of Christianity, but a false religion, a twisted religion, a horrible thing, a perversion that God hates. That's the way evangelical Christians look at Mormonism. And there's a huge literature. You just Google evangelical writing on Mormonism, and you're going to come up with thousands of books, pamphlets, essays, denouncing it in the most vile terms. So they have a real problem because the front runner for the economic interests is someone who is part of a religion that, with all the flip-flopping he's done on things like abortion, he can't flip-flop on this one, and he is not going to be looked upon favorably by any of these hard right-wing evangelical fundamentalists at the very core of the movement. And these guys control the process.
And so this means then, Frank Schaefer, this is pretty much a foregone conclusion then. I mean, they can have 100 debates, right? They're not going to change their mind.
I think the movers and shakers know this. And you know, people like Roger Ailes at Fox knows it. Rupert Murdoch knows it. They're probably having meetings and scrambling around in the back trying to figure, you know, what the hell they're going to do, because they don't have a candidate that business is going to like in a Rick Perry, let alone a Michelle Bachmann. And what they've got is a problem, because their most presentable looking candidate in terms of chemistry is someone who will never catch on with the rank and file Republican voter, because the rank and file Republican voter believes the Earth is 6,000 years old, that evolution is a myth, that there is no global warming, that foreign policy in Israel has to be dictated by the imminent return of Jesus, which is why Obama is so evil in their view for even talking about making peace with the Palestinians, because it would give away Judea and Samaria to the Arabs and prevent Jesus from coming back. We're dealing with the people who literally are the idiot fringe, the lunatic fringe of American society. But they now have locked up the control of the nominating process of our other major party, which is no longer a normal political party, but is really a religious party. And so what you really see in the Republican Party is religion masquerading as politics. And I don't think that sinks in most people. I'll repeat it. You know, this is not politics. It's religion masquerading as politics. And that's the nominating process. And the social agenda goes far past Roe v. Wade and abortion now. It's to discredit the federal government, to replace it with a kind of a theocratic view of America. You know, the code word for that is American exceptionalism. Well, we're exceptional because God somehow chose us, so we're the new chosen people. The laws of the Bible should apply and should be over and above the rule of law, in terms of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, etc. This is the view of the core that now controls the nominating process of the Republican Party. And so people who I knew in the past and worked with, as I talk about in my book, Sex, Mom, and God, folks like Jack Kemp, William F. Buckley, all these guys, President Ford, Betty Ford, who was a friend of my mother's, et cetera, you know, you could agree or disagree with any of these people on policy, even Ronald Reagan to a certain extent, but none of them could be mistaken for right-wing evangelical true believers. You know, these were ordinary American citizens with conservative views, but that's where it ended. Now it's a whole new game. And so there are some true believers like Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann who are literally part of the lunatic fringe themselves. And then there are people who have got to pretend they agree with them on the social litmus test issues, but if they're Mormons, they're totally unacceptable to this group and will never, never, never get the nomination.
Well, it's clear that Perry's feeding this idea, you know, through the back door. He started his campaign by basically having a big revival meeting down in Houston and saying, "I'm not a Mormon."
Right.
And that's clearly the subtext. We haven't heard the latter part of the, because we've been talking here, what happened in the debate. But it sounds to me, just in closing, Frank, that Perry doesn't have to do much, you know, just show up and not fall off the stage.
And then you have some people who, you know, we don't know about, right. like Herb Cain and these guys.
Oh, I mean, what a ignoramus and a bigot and a buffoon. Anyway,
you never
I think.
No, I mean, you know what? the thing is, the Republicans are so controlled by ideological litmus tests at their core now,
right,
that the freakish things they could throw out as an alternative candidate remains to be seen. I mean,
We're out of time here, and I thank you so much for joining us. Frank,
always a pleasure, Ian. Thanks a lot.
Again, I've been speaking with Frank Schaefer, whose parents, Francis and Edith Schaefer, were world-famous evangelicals. He is the author of a number of books, the latest being Sex, Mom, and God. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? Well, we began talking about the announcement today by the Attorney General that there was an Iranian plot to kill the Saudi ambassador in Washington. On the surface, it seems extraordinary and reckless and almost impossible to believe. But we tried to look into it and spoke with Dr. Trita Parsi, the president of the National Iranian American Council, largest group of Iranian Americans. He, of course, was nervous and wanted to say up front that, you know, Iranian Americans are patriots and they don't, you know, in any way want to be associated with this kind of, you know, terrorist action. But he did go on to say how this government in Tehran is desperate. It's losing ground in terms of its foreign policy and could well be desperate enough, both afraid of the Green Movement at home and of its foreign policy reversals abroad. I then spoke with one of the founders of the Revolutionary Guard Corps, the very people involved in this plot, the Al-Quds group. A branch of it is called Al-Quds, Moshe Sazagara. He believes that there really is quite a kind of cold war going on between Iran and Saudi Arabia, and mostly to do with oil, that the Saudis, India was the second biggest customer of Iranian oil, but because of banking sanctions, the money couldn't be transferred. So Saudi Arabia stepped in and said, we'll replace the Iranian oil and, in fact, give you better quality oil. And apparently that's happening across the board. So it's possible that there is, and you know, not just the tensions in Syria where Saudi Arabia is backing one side and Iran the other. There may be a lot more to this, although still it seems bizarre that they would want to pull off something so brazen. Then we were speaking today, of course, in the same time slot as the latest Republican debate, and I wanted to talk about bigotry, religious bigotry, the subtext of much of what Perry is suggesting, or at least his surrogates are, that Mormonism is a cult, to get a sense of what Perry's chances are, or what Romney's chances are, since he's a Mormon. I spoke with Frank Schaefer, his parents were famous evangelicals. He says basically that Mitt Romney is toast. He is never going to get the votes of the religious right, and they control the primary process. And it's that simple, that as long as Perry doesn't fall off the stage, he's got the nomination wrapped up, and that's freaking out the Republican establishment. This has been a Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I would like to thank Graham Fitzgibbons, producer. This program is available at ianmasters.com. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. America. Lady dressed in white with a mansion.